This is the fourth episode in our Founder Origin series. If you haven't gone back and listened to episode 20, which was part one of the series, Sherry and I talk in depth about the importance of knowing yourself and of knowing your history and of knowing your origin story and why that's so important as a founder. And the stories that we've compiled for this series, which is started off as a five-part series, it looks like it may be a six or seven-part series at this point, the stories are incredible. They're compelling. They include a lot of adversity. And I find that I'm waiting with bated breath as the interviews go on to hear what these folks are going to encounter next. And it's striking that every one of these founders faced this adversity and they took these major life lessons with them as they became founders. And it totally shapes how they approach their business, how they balance their lives, how they manage all the chaos that is required to start a startup. In this episode, Sherry interviews Steli Efti. He's the co-founder of Close.io. He was a speaker at this year's MicroConf, and he blew the audience away with his energy and just his compelling charisma. And I feel like that comes out in this episode. And there's a lot to hear in his story about how that helped and hurt him as he was growing up. So I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
So one of the series that I'm working on right now is actually about founders' early lives and their early life stories. And some really interesting conversations so far. And I'm excited to talk to you. I know you have a very interesting story too. So I wonder if you'd start just more broadly by describing yourself as a child. Were you outgoing? Were you shy? What kind of kid were you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Difficult, I think, in the sense that I was very determined as a child and very calculated. So I would just do anything and everything to get what I wanted. And I was not aware that, you know, maybe not everything is that important. I was not aware that I was selfish. I was just obsessed. When I wanted something, I thought the world will stop if I can't get it. I was just like totally 100% in on it. And it didn't matter if it was like I wanted a pet or if it was whatever it was. I was just super obsessed about things. So I would bother my mom. My father died when I was six. My mom raised three boys, me and my two older brothers, on her own. Factory worker, a woman that never went a day in her life to school, started working at a factory when she was 12. An amazing woman. Anyways, so, and I was making her life really hard, to be honest, in the sense that if I wanted something for 6 months, every day I would not stop talking about it and bothering her on it and trying everything, being charming, crying, screaming. It's just, I would never, ever stop. So I was a difficult child in that sense.
I'm getting that picture.
And people who've listened to anything from me before would be like, oh, that makes perfect sense. He's always been following up and being really determined. And that's true. But at the same time, I also would say that most of my childhood, I was really sad, like really unhappy. Yeah. Especially after the time when my dad died, there were a bunch of things that happened all at once, which made very much for a worldview for a long time that was like me against the world or everybody wants something bad, which made me not as outgoing or not as like, I was not the popular kid at school or anything like that, not good at school at all, but also a loner, not as communicative and popular as you would think, just like very much kind of.
Sounds like you probably had a lot going on inside of you when you were a little guy with all that was going on in your family.
So there's my personality, which was very determined, very outgoing, very loud. There was also the way my childhood was, which was not necessarily reflected outside of the home that I was that type of person.
All the things that were going on around you made it so that it wasn't necessarily safe to be like that out in the world. Did you get in trouble a lot, like in school?
You know what? You would think that. I did not get into trouble a lot. I tried to not participate as much as possible in school. And I got away with it most of the time. I was not like a rebel or anything like that, although I hated school with a passion. I knew I can't win this fight. I have no authority here. So I'm just trying to like sit in the back, be quiet and read a magazine or do something else and like just, you know, fly under the radar. So I was not like getting into big trouble, But I was always in a little trouble in the sense that most of my teachers were not excited about me, and some of them would just let me fly by, and some of them would try to give me a really hard time, and that I had always bad grades and was trouble in that sense, but never that I was like fighting in school. Well, when I was young, I was fighting a lot in school, but older, I was not getting a lot in trouble. I just didn't do well.
Mm. What was your mom like? I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but
yeah. It's
like a pretty powerful woman.
Yes. You know, the most powerful thing about her is how kind of unaware and understated she is in the way she does things. So my mom is really strong, a really strong person, but she's completely unaware of her strength. And she finds everything she does completely normal, and how could it be any other way? Like, what? Everybody would do this. She never complained. Like, my mom is a person that went through a lot of shit, not just having my father die, but we were kicked out of our house when he died. Half of my grandmother turned a little crazy because my grandfather died, and then a year later, my father died. So she, for some reason, had some problem with my mom, and then had the entire family not talk to her. We had like a lot of things going on. And then my mom's mother got really sick, and my mom would take care of her, go to work, take care of three kids. It's just a lot. I've never heard my mom complain, and it's not because she was like, I should not complain. It's because she never thought, oh my God, my life is so bad or so hard. She just, yes, she was sad about certain things, but then she was like, oh, I have three, you know, healthy children, and I need to cook, I need to go to work, I have to be these things.
Yeah.
And she never complained a day in her life about anything. She was not able to provide us with a lot of like education or spend a lot of time helping us with certain things when it came to career or learning or anything like that. But she was an incredible listener. So I remember always feeling like understood by my mother and loved, showered in love. And she would take all the time in the world on Sundays listening to our stories, no matter how whatever bizarre and uninteresting they were. And she would listen until you felt you had nothing more to say about it.
Huh.
She would take all the time in the world.
That's amazing, considering she was doing all the things
yeah.
she was doing, that she found that time to make you feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
If it's okay to ask you about this, how did she and the other adults around you handle your dad's death? How did they talk to you about it? How did they not talk to you about it?
Yeah, I don't know. So I was little. I don't even remember exactly how people explained it to me. I remember the day. I know exactly what happened. But I don't think my mom talked a lot about it to me. I know that most of the adults around us would just try to say all the amazing things about my dad they could come up with. So I remember my entire childhood people telling me all the, like, how amazing my dad was. And I think the influence that the adults tried to have over that in our family were mostly to my oldest brother. And they did some damage there, I think, like basically grabbing him when he was 16, which is a difficult age.
Yeah.
And going, you're now the man in the house, and you have to now take care of everything. And then that created a lot of problems with the three of us, with our relationship at first, because my brother would be super authoritarian about it and like walk into the room, you know, and just grab our whatever school bag and take out all the notes and like throw away all of them that were not written nicely and be like super and super random as well. So you would not see him for a week, and then he would just burst into the room and start screaming at you and thinking he needs to take care of something.
He's this intermittent,
yes.
angry parent.
Yes, exactly. So I think he got most of the psychological damage from like adults trying to tell him what to do about it. I don't remember anything specifically said to me other than that people would tell a lot of nice stories about my dad. That's pretty much it.
How do you think that shaped you, not having grown up with him?
I think that entire phase influenced me pretty strongly in the sense that it very much created a me against the world feeling. It was not just my dad dying, which creates a level of uncertainty about life in general. It's just like when my mom was late for 10 minutes, I'd be like, did she die? Is she in a car accident? Like that was the immediate thought. So it creates a certain level of like uncertainty about what could happen to anybody. Certain level of stress, but then also because I had such problems at school, teachers would tell me really bad things about myself in school. We had the entire family turns against us. We got kicked out of our house, and all of a sudden I'm in a new neighborhood. I was just like, the world sucks, and everybody is out to get me and get us. And internally, I didn't know what to do about it, but I knew that I wanted to rebel against it and be like, I'm going to prove everyone wrong. And I'm pretty sure that that was part of the drive I had to do something and turn my life into more than the trajectory that I was on. And my dad in particular is interesting because he was not very entrepreneurial. He was not a very flamboyant or like outgoing person. He was a very kind of quiet, reserved guy, but he was very loved. He had a lot of friends. He was a very pleasant guy to have around. Lots of people just enjoyed his company, but not super ambitious or anything like that. My mom is also not entrepreneurial in itself. So it was not that I was trying to like try to be like my dad, but more beating myself up that I'm not like him. Like, I remember my childhood thinking, I'm not like him, so he would not have loved me, he would not be proud of me. Just beating myself up, doing the human thing of trying to find an angle that will be as painful as possible.
Sure.
For whatever reason, that was kind of adding to some of the darkness that I had, like, growing up, remembering that time. But I'm sure, like, everything that happened to us during that time made me want to prove the world wrong. It definitely had an impact like that.
You had something to prove.
Yeah.
Something to show to everybody else.
For sure.
Other conversations with you that you did some moving of countries. I mean,
yes.
Tell me a little about that.
So, and this is a big jump, but like I grew up in Germany, although we were a Greek family, and it was very much an immigrant factory worker upbringing.
Did you ever live in Greece?
No, I never lived in Greece. We went to Greece every summer for 6 weeks.
Okay.
We spoke Greek at home. I went to Greek school after German school, so I had two schools to attend to that I hated, but I never lived in Greece. So I grew up in Germany, and the only time I really moved was when I moved to the U.S. 8 years ago. And that was also interesting because when I moved to the U.S., I thought, I know what it's like to be an immigrant, so this will not be that hard. But it was a different kind of being an immigrant, which was really interesting because this was the first time where I truly didn't culturally understand the country, and it took a while to learn to decode things.
Yeah.
Also, the first time I had to fight to be able to get a right to stay in a country, which was not an experience I had before. I just lived there. And also the first time truly not being around friends and family, which I've always been a very independent person, so I thought that would not surely not be a problem. But then when you're completely cut off and you don't have easy access, I at least learned that I needed that much more than I was aware of. So that was kind of a much more challenging thing that I thought, oh, it's America, it's the U.S., I speak a little English, I've watched a lot of movies, I kind of get it.
I'm ready.
I get it. I can go to Silicon Valley. It's not going to be that hard. It's much harder than I thought. Much harder than I thought.
How did the entrepreneurial thing start for you? Were there early life experiences of you selling things or trying to earn money or?
No. So I don't have the like lemon stand. I've always been hustling the, no, I don't have these stories. So for me, really what happened was like, for as long as I can think, I thought I was called for greatness. So I had this irrational confidence in me, but I had no clue what that meant. Like I was just like, I'm going to do great things one day. My mom would say, I totally believe you. And that was it. Like, I didn't know there was nothing.
So it was settled right
yes,
there.
Right there. We were both feeling good about it. But I really didn't know anything. And I spent most of my childhood off of school getting into trouble with other immigrant kids and then watching television. I watched an incredible amount of television growing up. Insane amount of television. And that was it. I didn't read a book till I was 16. And what really happened, the pivotal moment that really changed my life, was an argument I had with one of my older brothers. And it was an argument about success. And success, in our definition, was about like having a lot of money. And his side of the argument was basically that if you want to be successful, you have to either be academically successful, or you become a doctor or a lawyer, or you have to do criminal things to get a lot of money. And he watched a lot of movies as well. He was like a bouncer at a few clubs, very harmless family guy, you know, an entrepreneur not himself. But back then he was like, this is the only two options to make a lot of money. And I was arguing against that because I didn't like these two options. So we were going back and forth and back and forth until at one point he said, all right, smartass, what's your plan for success? What are you going to do? And I didn't have an answer to that. And that was the moment I truly realized how clueless I was. And I now could not hide from that fact anymore. I was looking in the mirror thinking, holy shit, what am I going to do with my life?
I'm supposed to be great. I have something to prove to the world, and I have no plan.
I have no idea what am I going to do. I'm 16. What am I going to do that's going to be that great? And then, you know, that set me on a very uncomfortable path of trying to figure out some answers. And funny enough, back the only resource of information I had was movies, so I remembered Wall Street was a movie I watched. And they talked about, yeah, it's as simple as that, right? And they talked about stocks And they made a lot of money with it. And I had no idea what stocks are, no concept of how businesses are run, no exposure to entrepreneurship or business sense at all at home. So I was like, what is this stock thing that you can make money with? And I'm like, well, people read books to learn about things. Maybe I should try to learn more about this by reading a book. So really that set me on a path to a local bookstore. It took me an hour to get the courage to walk into that bookstore. It's weird, but I was very uncomfortable. I've never been to a bookstore. Maybe they'll ask me something, maybe I will look stupid. So it was not a trivial thing for me to buy. Purchase a book seemed very like intimidating. But eventually I walked in there and I walked into the corner with all the business stock books and I picked the cheapest book I could find on it, which was like everything about you need to know about stock. It was like $4.99. And I bought it because I could afford it. And I went home hiding it because I didn't want my brothers to know I'm reading a book on stocks. They would have, you know, made a lot of fun out of me. So I read that book and it was perfect because it was written for people that have $4.99 to spare to read about stocks. So I understood it. It was not, if I had picked a little bit more of a sophisticated book, it could have been made a massive difference to my life. But that book was so simple, I understood everything. And I was like, oh my God, this is what a business is? These are what stocks are? Oh, and I remember like giving my mom an hour of a lecture, how incredible this is, and like we need to invest in stocks. I'm like, people need to know about this. I was like, that was my moment. And that was a very pivotal moment also in my relationship with learning, which beforehand, learning was to me, you know, similar and equal to school, and I hated school. So by that fact, I must have hated learning. But that was a moment where I learned something and I was like in joy and I was loving it. And then I got this rush of, I need to get another book to read more about this. And that really set me off on a path of going back to that store, buying another book and then buying another book. And then eventually buying a book about some entrepreneur and then buying a biography. And then slowly but surely realizing, wait a second, there's this thing called entrepreneurship and I don't need anybody's certificate to be allowed to do this. If I create something and people want to give me money, I'm in business. And I was like, all right, this is it. This is going to be my path.
Your path to success.
Yes.
And thus it has been.
Well, yeah. Well, it has been. A lot of times I joke when people are like, why have you been an entrepreneur your whole life? I'm like, lack of options.
Like, I didn't want to be a doctor or a criminal.
Criminal. So I had to be an entrepreneur, you know. Yeah.
What do your mom and brothers think of what you have done?
So, that's a good question. I think my mom is proud of me, but to be honest, I think she would be proud of me
no matter what.
Like, that's unconditional love. Like, if I've ever experienced it, it's my mother. Like, she thinks I'm the most amazing person ever, right? Which is awesome. And I think the same of her. But it's hard for her to truly understand what I'm doing. And we're just on vacation with my wife, the kids, and my mom. We flew her over. And I would go on long walks every night with my mom. We'd chat, and you know, again and again, she would ask, so when somebody at work asks me, how do I describe what you do? Well, we're trying to come up with a version that she would feel comfortable with because she didn't know how to describe what I do. So I don't think she truly fully understands it, but she thinks I'm awesome. My brothers are different because my brothers were both very much on being a lifelong employee, a technical engineer employee, like industrial Germany type of trajectory. And they always told me, well, we're not entrepreneurs, we're not risk takers, you're the crazy guy in the family. And I never bought that because I thought, well, you can only make choices if you were exposed to options. And those guys never had real options. They just went to school and then started a certain path afterwards. So I started a small business with them many years ago. I sold it to them as like, well, this is going to be a few hundred bucks a month extra. It's very little risk.
A little side project.
It's going to be fun for us to do together. And then you can like pay off your house faster with the extra cash or whatever. So I made it a very low friction, low risk proposition. And they got excited about that. And then they made a ton more money with that thing than they were making with their jobs. And they're like, oh my God, you can make that much money being your own boss? This is not that hard. So slowly but surely, we built a business, and I gave them my part of that when I left to the U.S. and was like, I gifted them my shares in the business. So they're both entrepreneurs now.
That's fantastic.
Well, you know, there were times where they were really appreciative of me helping them, and then there were many times where they were like, why the hell did you make us do this? This sucks. They had a lot of highs and lows themselves with their businesses. But yeah, they're entrepreneurs. They run their own business today.
And now that you are a parent, you have two children?
Two children. Yeah.
Are you going to sort of raise them in the way of the entrepreneur?
It's a good question.
Whatever that might be.
So I don't think so. So what I think is going to happen, or what I'm trying to do, is I just want to live the happiest, most fulfilled life possible, because I think that's going to ultimately be the strongest influence I have over my children. It's not what I'm going to tell them, not what books I'm going to show them, or what things I'm going to expose to them. I'm sure all that matters, but if I am truly unhappy inside, or if I make really bad choices for myself, or if I don't face the things I'm afraid of, they will learn and be influenced by that, I think, a lot more than whatever I tell them. So I just try to live a life that I can say I'm happy and proud of, and then I hope that helps. I don't want them to be entrepreneurs necessarily, although I'll be excited if they are. I would say something different. I think the strongest difference that I will have, or the thing that I'm most influenced by and that will probably influence my children of, is the value I give to formal education and the love I have for learning. So I don't think I will care that much what school my kids attend and what grades they get and if they study or not, if they go to college, what college they go. All that to me is not as important. And I think in the future will not be as important. If my children have a passion for learning, if they are good at thinking critically, and if they're good at learning things, and if they're good at changing, they're good at, you know, understanding their internal emotions and are good communicators, and if they can find something they're really passionate about, whatever the hell that is, they're going to be fine. They're going to do great in life. That's what I will care a lot more. And if they went to a great school or not, places no value in my life, because I know what I and other people I know have accomplished without that. And I have a suspicion on how the trajectory of the world goes in terms of the value of formal education. Mm-hmm. So I think that those things will definitely influence how I raise my children.
Well, anything else you want to say about your early life and your journey to entrepreneurship? I know this is probably a little bit of a different conversation than you usually have with people.
Yeah. But I think it's an important one, so I'm excited. I'm excited to share some of these things, and I'm instantly... No, I want to listen to all the other interviews you make, because this is probably all stuff that you'd never hear about these people. I don't know. I think that one thing that has been a big influence over the last 2 years that made a big difference in my career and was also a very limiting factor for a long time in my life as an entrepreneur is an emotional thing. So I think maybe it fits to the theme of this conversation, which is, you know, managing your own emotions. And even more importantly, realizing that everyone is as scared as you are in certain moments. And it's not about the strong people aren't scared and you are. It's what makes strong people strong or successful people successful is that they act despite that fear. They overcome it. It's not that they don't have it. But whatever it is, fear, lack of confidence, whatever it is that you feel that limits you from doing whatever you need to do next, I've learned to, instead of fighting those emotions or feel shame about them or think that I'm lesser of an entrepreneur than this other person because they surely never feel like me or are failing at something the way I am. Instead of thinking that, I just think, oh, if I'm afraid of doing this, that's good. Let's do it anyways. Let's be afraid while doing it, mm-hmm. right? And that has made a massive difference in my life, and just not fighting these emotions but embracing them and going, it's fine to feel really bad and still do this thing, right?
Yeah.
Or feel afraid. But I will do a bad job then. Let's do a bad job. Let's do it anyways. Yeah, that has made a big difference, and it's something I like to talk a lot about because I hope somebody else will learn from it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. This was fun.
That concludes this week's episode. Join us next week for another Founder Origin. Next week is Patrick McKenzie, who you probably know as Patio 11 on the internet, and who resides at the calzumius.com blog. If you'd like to be notified each time one of our episodes goes live, you should search for us in iTunes or your podcatcher and subscribe. We also have a mailing list where we send out some pretty cool stuff. If you're not on it already, we have a bunch of stuff that we give away to folks who sign up. Come to zenfounder.com and you'll see a little drip pop widget in the lower right. So come sign up if you haven't already. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.